I'm Dan Rundy. I'm co-director of the U.S. Leadership and Development Project here at CSIS. We hosted an event yesterday with Assistant Secretary Fernandez on the trade and development nexus. He was joined by Bill Lane, Director of Government Affairs at Caterpillar, along with my colleague Meredith Broadbent, who's the Scholl Chair on Trade here at CSIS. The first question I have for Assistant Secretary Fernandez is, can you tell us what Egypt and Tunisia need at this point right now to help encourage investment and to help consolidate the gains of the Arab Spring?
Thank you. The Arab Spring, if in many ways you can trace it back to what we call the demographic bulge in all of North Africa, you have a situation where young people have great difficulty in getting jobs. And in fact, in some countries, the more educated you are, the harder it is to get a job. So one of the things we've been working on in Egypt and Tunisia, and not just in those two countries, but in other countries as well in North Africa, is to try and find ways to create and help create small and medium enterprises. And how do we do that? Well, Secretary Clinton has talked about an OPIC fund. She announced that in Cairo, a $2 billion fund that was going to be used to create small and medium enterprises, promote microcredits, and find ways to help the Egyptians and help the Tunisians get away from the state-led model that dominated both economies. You had economies in both countries that in some ways suffocated the private sector. The state did everything. The state was a major employer. And the main hope for kids coming out of universities was to get a job with the government. We've got to work to change that. That's something that both governments want to do, both interim governments want to do. And that's something that we in the government and in our private sector can help promote. Private sector investment can lead to private sector jobs. Can lead to wealth creation, and that's something that we believe the Egyptians want, the Tunisians want, and that we're willing to work with.
Assistant Secretary Fernandez, let me shift gears and ask you about some of the trade agreements that are about to be signed here in the United States. I'm referring specifically to the agreements between the United States and Colombia and the agreement between the United States and Panama. They're obviously important trade and investment opportunities for the United States, but could you also talk about the development opportunity in seeing these agreements signed?
Well, you know, both Colombia and Panama have been good and great allies of the United States for many, many years. Of course, in Colombia, Plan Colombia, which now is more than 10 years old, really helped to bring that country back from, many would say, the brink. It was a place in 1999 that was in danger of being overrun by the narco traffickers, and that's something that President Uribe and the Colombian government in general took a very courageous step and to try to bring that country back. What we're trying to do in the free trade agreement is to find ways to help, first of all, create American jobs by lowering the export barriers in Colombia. Right now, the export barriers in Colombia, customs duties go from anywhere between 7 to 15% on the average on U.S. products. Most of those will be brought down to zero with the trade promotion agreement, and that will create American jobs. But at the same time, it will help to stabilize the country, to bring foreign investment into Colombia, and that kind of stability, that kind of growth can only help the United States. So we see both Colombia free trade agreement and the Panamanian agreement as win-win situations, creating U.S. jobs and at the same time promoting stability and growth in both Colombia and in Panama.
I want to bring Bill Lane into this discussion about the opportunity, both the trade and investment opportunity, but also the development opportunity for the two trade agreements between the United States and Colombia and the United States and Panama. Bill?
Well, I mean, we're here to talk about really the nexus between trade and development. And, I have to say, I don't think there's a better example than what's going on in Latin America. First of all, I sometimes get the impression that folks do not totally appreciate how important Latin America is for American exporters, American companies. Caterpillar, you know, we're known as one of the country's largest exporters. But, you know, six of our top 10 export markets are in Latin America. And we take those markets very seriously. Chile, which is a trade agreement that we worked on, we helped lead back in the around 03, 04, has been just a remarkable success story. Our exports to Chile have gone up by threefold, and our imports from Chile have gone up by threefold. And that they tend to be fresh grapes in the winter, and a product that we all tend to like, crushed grapes year-round. So that's worked out really well, and it's given us all a little bit of a richer life, and it's provided more jobs for Americans. Peru, that agreement just went into effect a little over a year ago. Our exports to Peru are up 60%, and Peru now is one of our 10 largest export markets. Colombia, as the Secretary was saying, you know, Plan Colombia may be the most remarkable counterinsurgency program the U.S. has ever endeavored or attempted. We turned a country or in partnership, which was on the verge of being a failed state, into a thriving democracy. It wasn't a cheap program, but in comparison to foreign policy initiatives that are going on today, I think the total 11-year, 12-year cost of Plan Colombia is the equivalent of about 2 or 3 weeks of handling the counterinsurgency effort in Afghanistan, for example. And now we're going to cement that relationship with a free trade agreement, where in this case we're going to protect our access to great coffee and flowers that we all need at Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. And at the same time, we're going to be able to provide capital goods, and Colombia will be in a position to attract foreign investment. Panama, you know, most people look at Panama and you see a very small country, 3 million people. You know, they're expanding the canal, which means in 2014 that's going to create all sorts of infrastructure opportunities at ports up and down the East Coast. It's going to reduce the supply chain for all types of American manufacturers. Panama is expanding their airport, buying over 30 new Boeing jets and four times that a number of jet engines from General Electric. I mean, for a country that small, we're seeing enormous export opportunities. In fact, last year, Caterpillar exported more products to a rather small country in size as we did to Korea. We exported more to Colombia than we exported to India or Japan or Germany. So I think, you know, folks need to, you know, look at the opportunities that are close to home, and they need to look at opportunities that get all sorts of press, which are the opportunities in Asia and the Mideast. Like the Secretary, we're keen on what's happening, and we're hoping reform spreads quickly throughout the Mideast and provides all sorts of opportunities for the people there. But these are exciting times. The trade agreements are a way to validate that success. And then we hope that that's followed up with even broader initiatives by the administration that will lay out a plan for the next couple of years.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us today. We look forward to your remarks.